This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illuminations, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Funari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by Madeline Dale. She's the author of Releasing Her Power, Phase Shifter, Book 1.
How are you doing today, Madeline?
Hi, I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a release day for me. Mask of Guilt just went live a couple hours ago, so that's always exciting.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. So, Madeline, I always like to start these out with a fun question. One of the most pressing questions of the day is, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Oh, I love that question. I actually feel that it does because I love eating pineapple on pizza. A lot of people don't, but I had to tell my husband on it that I love it on pizza. So, yes.
Well, so anyways, it was really great talking with you. Have a great day. Sorry, I'm messing with you.
You're okay. I was like, not a fan of pineapple and pizza, I take it.
Oh, I used to deliver pizzas, and I don't know. Canadian bacon doesn't smell good in your car.
Yeah, I will say I'm not a fan of the Canadian bacon, but the pineapple and the mix of the cheese and the sauce for some reason tastes good. I like to switch off the Canadian bacon for pepperoni.
Okay, yeah, that sounds a bit better. Maybe it should be those pineapple and Canadian bacon blend together. So, Madeline, how long have you wanted to be an author?
I actually kind of played around with writing short stories and stuff when I was a kid. I've always had a very creative imagination, and I've always been an avid reader. But while I was pregnant, I decided to take that chance and write a book and do some more writing just to kind of see where I was. And I had a friend encourage me to publish, like, with self-publishing after several turndowns on putting in for traditional publishing, and it just kind of took off.
Okay. I was going to ask questions, but I lost my train of thought. Anyway. All right. So, you always wanted to be a writer, like, back when you were in, like, school. So, like, how young were you when you were writing, like, junior high, grade school?
I was in grade school. I remember some of my first stories. I focused on my dog as the main character, and he would go on these adventures, just fantasy adventures, when I was a kid.
Okay. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
So now you have full novels, like Releasing Her Power, which is your new novel?
It is actually a year old. Okay. It came out last year. The fourth book in the series dropped at the end of April, and it follows a main character. Her name's Liz, and she discovers a whole world of magic.
Yeah, a phase shifter, apparently.
Yes.
How does that differ from other shifters?
So for her, she's not, there's just regular shifters, and in my world, the shifters stem down from skinwalkers, and there are fae-born shifters who are originate from the fae realm. And some of them, there used to be gateways open into different worlds from the fae realm, but it closed, trapping certain fae within the human realm when they kind of intermingled and gave birth to the fae shifters.
Okay. So what do fae shifters shift into?
Various animals, really. There, in my story, there's mountain lions, there's wolves, there's crows, eagles, hawks. And then just regular, like, dragons and stuff like that.
Okay. No were-goats?
Do what?
No goats.
No, there's not, but that would be an interesting one.
I can see a grandmother goat.
Yes, that would be a fun character.
Yeah. So, what is the actual story about? We have Liz, she's a physical therapist, and one day she discovers she's a phase shifter, right?
Pretty much. So what she does is she takes time to make a change in her life. She's really stressed out and, like, overworked, and her health was starting to kind of spiral. She hasn't had a chance to mourn her mother's death and decides to move into her grandmother's cabin and just kind of start making lifestyle changes and unearth a family secret, which is that she's not human and that there's more at stake. And she discovers she's a princess in this world she had no idea existed. And it kind of follows her, the series does, as she takes down all these evil beings that are trying to enslave the humans and take over power and just destroy the peace with the humans.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting story. Why are you mourning her mother? Where did that idea come from?
So her mother, it kind of added in a little flair, I think. Her mom's powers were bound by her grandmother when she was a baby, just to kind of keep them hidden because they were royals. And their power is so great that anybody that's fae could pick up on it. And not only did the good fae get trapped in the human world, but so did some of the rogue fae that are trying to kill all the royals. And in order to stay hidden, she had to bind their powers. And therefore, Liz's mother had no idea she was not human either. But she, because she was bound, it cut off all of that access to immortality and stuff that the fae typically have. So she ended up contracting cancer and dying.
Okay. So we have Liz. Any other characters?
Yes, Liz has a really good friend. Her name is Tiff. She turns out to be a dragon shifter later on in the story. She's part of a set of twin dragons, one being completely made of light magic and the other dark magic. But it's not, like, bad. It's kind of like a neutral thing. And then there's Liz's love interest. She has two mates, Cam and Callum. Cam is a mountain lion shifter and Callum is a prince in the Fae realm of the Winter Court.
So there's a bit of a reverse hand going on?
A little bit, yeah. They kind of balance out her magic.
Okay. And our villains. Do we have any great villains in the story?
Oh, yes. There is Liliandra, which is Liz's great aunt. She took over the Fae realm when the gates shut with her mate, Lander, who is actually a skinwalker and descendant of the Blood King, which it comes out in book 4. And he is an evil villain that's been around since creation that was supposed to be dead.
Okay. So... where did the sort of idea from this come? I mean, you're pregnant. You're like, let's write fae shifters, right?
Yes. I had a crazy dream, which a lot of women do have some crazy outlandish dreams. But I've always read books about shifters and fae. I'm a huge reader of Sarah J. Maas, and she's got a lot of fae in her books. And I think I was reading one of those at the time when I had this dream, and I had to write it down. It was like a mix of hodgepodge and crazy stuff. And I was like, you know, this would make a really good book, an interesting story.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, pregnant women, right, have really vivid dreams sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never had really vivid dreams. I've had dumb dreams, but...
We all have dumb dreams, but I mean, you know...
Really inspired me to write something, I'll say that. I've never had a dream like that.
Yeah.
I feel like kind of disappointed. I have just stupid dreams, like my vacation won't work out.
Yeah.
I miss being a kid when I had real nightmares, not, you know, oops, I'm going to get fired from my job or something.
Yes, those are the worst.
I quit my job, say 7 years ago. And I still sometimes have nightmares that I'm going to get fired from my job. It's so bad.
For some reason, I feel like those dreams never leave you alone, even if you're not working. Because I still have dreams of being in college and, like, missing a due date for, like, a paper or something.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's dumb brains. So, was this the first novel you actually wrote to completion, or just the first one you tried to get published?
It was the first one I tried to publish. So I wrote a story that was about a wolf shifter as my first, like, completed novel, and I haven't done anything with it. It's still sitting completed on my Google Drive. And I've kind of talked to myself. I'm like, oh, you know, I should publish that. Like, go back through it, edit it really good. But I just haven't done it.
Yeah, I have an urban fantasy novel on my hard drive. That's the first of 7 books.
And, nice.
I wrote it, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I got, like, 2 books of a trilogy that I needed to finish. I had some bad beta reader feedback on the first book, and I kind of pulled the plug on it.
And, yeah.
I want to fix sort of the problems and try again, but I just don't have the time.
I get that. Time is like, it just, you blink and the whole day is gone.
Yeah, I figured out what I wanted to do to fix it like last November.
Yeah.
But I haven't made much effort on it because I just have other series that are firing, so.
Yeah, and when you have something like that, it's, your attention is there. You don't want to like be like, oh, well, let me just step back here. It's harder to step back and go back to something than it is to move forward.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like 5 books into a 10-plus fantasy series, and I want to just want to get that done.
So. Yeah.
All right, so you had, this was your first novel, right? Or no, it's not your first novel, but what sort of lessons did you learn about sort of writing and your process and stuff that you kind of refined over writing, 5 novels now?
Yeah, 5 novels. So I definitely have learned don't rush it. Don't push yourself to where your creativity just does not work, because I did go through a period of time where my creativity was just like not happening. I was under a lot of stress and stuff, and I kept trying to push myself like, I need to do this, I need to do that. But I've learned I'm not one of those people that I can sit down and write every day. I have to wait for like peace of mind kind of thing to sit down and just let the creativity flow. Because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and my child, oh my gosh, we are in the terrible 3s and his energy is through the roof. So I literally, like, there's days I'm just like, yep, writing's not happening today. So
I know I have a female author friend. She's always complaining like, man, you write so much. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you're like, have bad health problems and 3 kids. and like, I talked to her on Skype and stuff, and her family is very noisy.
I believe it. I only have 1 kid, and I'm just like, okay, like, you gotta go play. Let me do this.
Yeah. So, I really liked your cover. How did you go about getting your cover?
We have a mutual friend that hooked me up, and I met Kelly through him, and she actually did the cover for me, and it is amazing. I love it.
Kelly who?
Kelly Dale, I think is her last name.
Okay, yeah. That's who I thought you were talking about. Okay, yeah, she does some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it was pretty easy. I remember it was so hard to find something to do covers for me when I first started out, like, just trying to find an artist, like, and you'd run into artists who, like, they would say they could do it, and then they flake on you.
Yes, that is the hard part, because I did go through that.
Are they just, like,
actually my 3rd cover. And
they say they're full up, or, yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or I had one author friend, and she's like, here's mine, and I went to him, and I got a price quote, and I came back, and I'm like, wait, you pay this much for your cover? And she's like, oh, my husband buys me the covers as, like, presents. I'm like, man, your husband is generous.
Yeah, it's
expensive. I mean, they're like, I mean, I could see these covers, like, on, like, Chad published books. Like, he's really, really good, so he's probably actually worth it. It just was, it was a shock.
That's awesome. I did have a cover artist work on one of my books, and I got it back because I did that whole thing where you go through, what is it called? There's an app I went through. It's Fiverr. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, the cover looked really good. And I did it. And I was like, okay, you know, can you help me get, like, set it up for a layout to put on Amazon? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he never got back with me. And then I discovered that the spine of the book, like, the words were switched around. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So I ended up having to get somebody else to do it. Because he wouldn't respond. And I was just like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks trying to find some good people. Mm-hmm. Like, and then once you find them, you're like, okay, good. You have to stay doing this for the rest of my fucking career.
For real. It's like, please don't leave me. I need you.
Yeah, my cover artist was like, listen, you're going to have to raise our rates. And I was like, oh, no. And it's like, never mind. Like, we got a continuation on our on this other thing we do, so we can continue to do, like, indie covers for cheaper. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Ugh. I sense chills down my spine raising the rate. Ugh.
Yeah, well, they're really good. So I'm getting, like, a really good deal. Like I said, she's like, because they're making money some other projects. So
yeah.
Like, do indie covers for cheaper.
That's so good.
Yeah, really good. I'm always annoying them with, like, hey, can you switch this up? And
yeah.
It's very doesn't complain. So, what's your writing style like? Are you more of a plotter or a pantser?
I started out as a pantser, but I have turned into more of a plotter. I've found myself keeping notebooks and notes all over the place, sticky notes and everything, just to kind of keep my brain focused on what I want to do with the plot.
Okay. So I'm just picturing your office with, like, crazies.
It is. And especially today, because my shelf broke and everything kind of fell to the floor. So it's just kind of, I have stuff sitting in the floor right now because I'm like, I don't know how to fix this.
That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved and I had to replace a couple shelves because they didn't survive the move.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that's because they were like, the shelves were kind of half collapsing. I put too many books on them.
I have that problem on a regular basis. My husband's actually told me, he's like, you need to quit buying books. We're going to have an extra house just for your books. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I have a lot of books. Well, I took the opportunity to get rid of a lot of books when I moved.
Yeah.
Now this place is kind of more space, so I bought some more bookshelves. Now I have shelves that I have to fill with books.
Yes.
Three books. So, what advice do you have for, like, new writers or aspiring authors?
My advice would be don't doubt yourself. Keep writing. Your work may not be perfect, but just go with it. It is a learning process. You only will get better with time and practice. And definitely, I would say always use a cover art, like a cover designer, to do your books.
Yeah. If you don't have, like, a degree in graphic design or, like, a painter or something, do that.
Yes.
I know a couple authors who can make their own covers, but that's because they make covers for other people.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, yeah, don't.
Yeah, no.
And if you can't afford much, go for something really simple but elegant, like a weird geometric pattern or with some font instead of, like, a really bad, like, CGI thing or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because those covers work too. Like, they don't have to have, like, a character on them.
No, they don't. And if you've got a, like, if as long as the cover looks good, you're going to bring readers in. If it doesn't look good, readers are going to be like, nope.
Yeah. It's your first point of advertising.
Yes.
All right. So, did you ever get struck with, like, imposter syndrome since you mentioned about doubting yourself?
I did a little bit, but I was kind of able to work through it. I went through a phase with my writing where I was just completely, like, all over the place, and I got super depressed about it because, like, when my first two books that went out, one was a standalone and one was just a regular, I was so worried people weren't going to like it, and then it was crazy, so.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you kind of, like, you really start to question, you're like, everyone tells me I have good stuff, but what if they're not? What if they're lying?
Yeah, I would rather somebody be completely honest with me than fluff me up, is what I like to say. Like, don't give me the fluff. Tell me straight. Do you like it? Is it terrible? If it's terrible, it's okay. Just tell me.
Yeah, exactly. So what is next for you in your writing career?
So I am going to continue writing. I'm working on a trilogy I've got planned out about a hellhound. And I've actually spent a lot of time today doing some research on Kushtaka, which is an otter man. And it's a different type of skinwalker in Alaska. And it's going to play a major role in my Hellhound series that I'm writing.
Okay. That sounds interesting. So,
yeah.
So your series that Liz is a part of, see y'all done all her books out, or?
I have two more in the works that are not going to completely follow Liz's storyline. It's going to kind of stem off of it.
Okay.
So it's going to follow a little bit different characters in the mix, because she has kids in the fourth book, and it's going to focus more on them than her.
Well, would you like to let the listeners know where they can connect with you on the internet?
Yes, I am on social media. So my website is www.thechaptergoddess.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram.
Cool. But what do you do on TikTok? I've never been on there.
It's been kind of a learning experience. You do a lot of video stuff, and you kind of just, what I like to do is advertise my books, talk about my books, talk about books I'm reading, and then just try to engage people that see the video, ask them what they're reading, have they ever read such and such, or what their favorite kind of genre is, just stuff like that.
Okay. Well, thanks. You have yourself a good day. It was really great.
Thank you for chatting with me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.